What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready.
Living in America, hand in hand, station to station, living in America, got to have a little bit of,
I had to do it. We need to be unified right now. This is What Is TWS Podcast, episode 25, man, quarter century. But episode 25, what was I getting ready to say? I don't know. I am Jay Flan, and as always, my brother...
Rich Nerd, you already know.
Yep. So, as we discussed in the last episode, Bars is...
temporarily suspended.
Temporarily suspended until further notice. I think it's a good thing. I think this is what's supposed to happen. I think somebody comes out, they raise the bar...
Yeah.
And then you realize you can't come back into
our
the
bar
game.
Our bar is not touching that bar.
Right. You can't come back into the game until you can reach that.
Let it die down a little bit, or we got to jump up. And we not jumping that high.
I'm going to try, Ray. I'm not going to count myself out. I believe in myself. I wouldn't hold your breath if I was you, but I'm working on it. But anyway, we're back since we last spoke. A lot of things have happened.
A lot.
You all know this podcast will be released Monday. So I think we last talked on Thursday. We all know what happened on Friday and over the weekend. So
here go we go, Patriots.
Did
you see that game, by the way?
I did. I saw a lot of it. I enjoyed the Green Bay Atlanta game. A lot more.
I missed that one when I met Larry, met my father-in-law.
Shout out to Larry.
Met my father-in-law, Larry. Shout out to Larry, like you said. Spent some time together, had a good conversation, had a few beers. Trying to reconnect. And while we were hanging out, the game was on. Oh, my God. That was a game.
Patriots, Steelers.
Yeah,
I don't know. It looked like the Patriots just manhandled them. Like
they were dominating. I mean, the Steelers, like they looked like especially the fourth quarter, they had like the smallest glimmer of hope. No, that pass, Roethlisberger, that Hail Mary in the corner.
I was like,
nice. Oh, they're gonna make a run for it. But then they had a 2-point conversion. Nobody was touching them. Nobody's guarding anybody. They got it. But then it was like,
it's the Patriots. We kind of knew.
They're like the most winningest fucking team.
Yeah. I think they showed it. Like, they showed that graphic of, like, coach-quarterback combinations.
Yeah.
And, like.
Then nobody touched it.
They're more than double the next closest.
This one puts them above everybody. There's nobody else touching them at this point.
Yeah.
Like, they had people that were tied for, like, six finals games, six Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's it. They're officially no one is touching them at this point.
Yeah, but they're at something like 207
total wins. 207 wins. The next person under them wasn't like 100.
I can't even remember who it was.
Yeah, exactly. It was that much. It's nowhere near it. If they win.
I think it was Tomlin Roethlisberger. I think it was.
Yeah.
It was.
If they figure out a way to win this Super Bowl, they will be... officially like the most winningest.
Nah. I'm officially putting my money on Atlanta. I'll take any bets. I'll take all
this
bets.
It's gonna be crazy.
I'll take all bets on that.
The
only reason I'm going for Atlanta, this is how petty I am. The only reason I'm going for Atlanta
NFC.
Is because it's not even NFC. I really could care less. The only reason I'm going for them is because everybody else left in that four already has more Super Bowls than the Redskins. And I didn't need that lead to increase at all. So the Patriots already got more Super Bowls than the Redskins. Give us time to catch up. I don't want to see that lead get any bigger. I think the Falcons have only been, this will be their second. I don't think they have one. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel no kind of way if they pick one. They still not on the level of a franchise like the Washington Redskins. Yeah. So that is the pettiness in me, and that's why I'm rooting for Atlanta.
Like, I feel like the last couple of times the Patriots went to the show, like, I've seen it, like, live. I was at the bar with friends watching it, and they're one of those teams where it's easy to hate them, but you can't deny what they're going to do. Like,
no, I'm going to deny it. You got to understand the nature of pettiness.
They got a good squad. Like, it's going to be a good game. Hey, I'm not going to count anybody out.
I'm able to recognize bullshit in other people, because I'm full of it myself. So when I see, like, our president-elect and certain things that you do, I recognize the pettiness, because I know that pettiness, because I use it on a daily basis.
If it's his innate being, can it be considered petty? Like, if a snake stabs you in the back, he's a snake. You should have expected that. That's who he is. Right. He's already lied. He's been lying since day one.
Right. So true. We should not act surprised anymore. Don't be surprised. It shouldn't be news no more.
He's doing exactly what we expected. Right.
So let's stop making it news.
No excuses. No excuses.
I will say, motherfucking phrase of the week is alternative facts. That shit is dope. Like, that is, if you ever, people, I hope people out there like taking notes. You know, if you a press person and you need to learn like how to spin shit, like Kellyanne, whatever. First of all, just
hand out alternative facts. Hey,
yo, something is going wrong. I think when you do so much evil, like it eventually like eats at your physical. She has started looking worse and worse. Yeah. Like, you know, looked like a ghoul or something in that last interview.
That shit, it manifests itself physically. I'm telling you,
alternative facts though. Next time Tammy be like, Jared, that's a lie. You know it's not a lie.
It's an alternative fact.
That's an alternative fact. You think you know the truth. I have an alternative.
Did you see the latest BS outrage? People upset at the fact that they are upset at the Trump Make America Great Again hats.
Because
they're made in China. Right.
The one. So if you bought them from the Trump website or whatever, those are supposedly made in America.
They're all made in China.
People were getting, people were buying them on the street and stuff, and those were supposedly made in China.
They're all made in China.
Vietnam or whatever.
All of the wool blends came on a spool from China. All of the labor came from China. Thread came from China. They all made in China. None of those hats.
Hey, they're made in alternative USA.
That is a good one. You got to think about it. The labor cost for United States-based labor, astronomical.
Yeah.
So we're paying a person on minimum $12 an hour.
Yeah.
You can't pay $12 for a hat if we're paying $12 an hour.
It's making it very difficult for us to compete. Like, you know, I'm an avid vapor. Like, that is what I do. I vape and I buy equipment like constantly. That's a real like easy to see problem just in that arena. Like, if you look at American made, like, I have one American made mod,
and the price is astronomical.
And that is like, I want to say, I don't know, that's probably 10 times more expensive than any other mod up there.
Tammy, if you're listening, the brace price was $10.
It's like, that is like crazy expensive compared to everything else. And then, you know, what would happen in vaping is like an American company would design something. It'd be a small piece of metal, you know, an atomizer. You know, it's a piece of metal. It's machined and designed to do what it does. I guess because of the cost of manufacturing and the machining and the design, you know, you buy it American made, you buy what they call a authentic American made version of it, maybe like $200. It was just crazy. I just couldn't justify $200.
But you bought a knockoff.
Right. It goes out, it hits the market, stays in the market like a week. Somebody in China gets it, reverse engineers it, and learns how to, you know, machine it there. They sell it for $30. Why would I pay $200?
Exactly. There's no competing.
I can't, it makes it very difficult. You know, so I'd like to understand. I guess I need to get into economics and understand a little bit of why we can't compete on that price point level. But whatever. That's it's getting real deep, and I haven't even gotten the evil out yet, Rich. You gotta let me get, yeah, let me get the evil out. Yeah, I was saying I'm drinking my water because you know I felt like I was having some health issues, and I needed to cleanse from the inside out. So I'm drinking. Well, that's my what you're sipping today is Aquafina. So refreshing. I do have a ginger beer here though.
I finished sipping about 45 minutes ago at Brass Tap, so okay. I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good.
But yeah, this is my like cleanse emotionally, because all this stuff happens, and I man,
yeah,
like social media is killing
me. It's a lot to cleanse. We had some good conversations this week,
and social media is killing me. Like I see the stuff, and I so want to.
I'm trying to boycott.
Yeah, I so want to like engage and get in it. Like pause, but like the only reason I'm not boycotting is because I feel like I need to stay aware of like what the arguments are. Like what's the rhetoric today? I don't want to, because every time I do, like I just get filled with this anger. Mm-hmm. And I gotta find an outlet. So I'm gonna get my evil out, Rich, if you don't mind. Man, I'm gonna skip some of these. All right, I'm gonna go straight to you, Rich, because you did something this week that I want to address on the podcast. I want to address in public. I want to get the evil out, so that even my brother is not exempt. He is not exempt to the evil and pettiness that resides within me. We were talking about the D.L. Hughley shirt, which I really want one. I got to see what the process is in purchasing one. And this is the fuck you now, fuck you forever t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a quote from his Steve Harvey rant, right?
Yeah.
Is that? Ah, man, that's crazy. We won't even, that maybe later in the show we'll get to that. But anyway, it's like I wanted one of the shirts. And then I saw you post, you know, about the shirt as well. And you even went as far to let us know what shoes would match up perfectly with the shirt. Thank you very much, Rich. I will not be buying those J's, though. And then you said you wanted a size M. Now, if I'm not confused, M stands for medium.
Medium. Right? All right. Medium.
All right. So right here, people, are you listening? Because we plan on doing some Facebook Live and some YouTube events. I am challenging Rich Nerd right here, right now, to attempt to put on a medium shirt.
On a live I don't know how the shirts are cut, but I'm telling you, like, the majority of my wardrobe, and you see how I dress, the majority of my wardrobe is medium. It just depends on the... I feel like...
Shit doesn't change for some reason.
I feel like the t-shirt I got on right now, it's a medium.
I feel like I used to wear a medium too, and then like, I'm blaming it on fashion. Like, fashion mm-hmm. changed, everything went to this athletic fit.
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
So automatically, like, you're bigger than you should be.
Yeah, my size went up. Like, mm-hmm. hey, my size went up, Paul. But every once in a while, I gotta buy an extra large nowadays.
No, you're exactly right. So coming from a fashion background, that is exactly what it is, and it's planned out like 2 years in advance. Which is not gonna go into it. It's crazy, but I've been there. Like, what I pick today is what's gonna be sold 2 years from now. So all of this stuff has been done. When new shit comes out and hits the market, and it's like, oh no, how did that happen? When you see a pair of Jordans that's the exact same color as the new era hat, that's the exact same color as the t-shirt. Like, they plan that ahead of time. They share the palette. This is the official color palette of the companies, and this is coming out. This is the official sizing of the companies, and it's coming out.
Yeah.
So basically, a few years ago, people started measuring against different lasts on shoes, different overall cuts on shirts and bullshit. So long story short, everything did start to get smaller.
Yeah,
so right. For the most part, depending on what company you're like, you're going in, your shit just ain't gonna fit. This is why I stick to the same company, to the people I know.
Yeah.
Cause my medium yesterday is my medium today.
All right, well, I'm telling you, the medium, we gonna do this live for the people. We gotta come up with some sort of wager.
I got a large.
And I feel like that large is about right, exactly where I need to be.
Yeah, but that large felt like a dress on me. Like, it felt like a muumuu. All
right, we gonna do this, Rich.
Because it was long. We can do it.
Because I read this post, and I'm like, this motherfucker. I'm like, man, Rich. I'm like, Rich. There are millions of people.
I'm going to order a medium.
You order a medium.
Did we order any with that last order? Did you get any mediums in there?
Why would I buy a medium? This is what I'm saying to you. Why would I buy a medium? So this is what I'm saying, Rich, is that there are a million people in line waiting to lie to you. Don't lie to yourself, Rich.
Listen, I know don't better. Trust me.
We're going to do it. Y'all help us come up with a wager or something to put on this, but we're going to do it live at some TWS event. Rich is going to put on a medium shirt for the people. And we should do it at the Hair Lounge. Get one of them Clipper Beast shirts.
I'm telling you. I could fit a medium. I don't know about it. Because it depends on how they measuring mediums at Hair Lounge.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Because if Drew pop up and say he wears a medium.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't fit Drew's medium.
Can't rock a Drew medium.
That's what I'm saying. And Champ, I can't fit a Champ medium. That's not even a medium. That's the wrong size. And they got the wrong labels. they got the wrong labels.
Put on there. Right, but yeah, I needed to get that one out. Because that was some evil that was sitting there, you know, that I had to deal with. I read that post. I'm like, this medium?
Yeah, medium? I got a lot of medium? Everything I own is between a medium and a large.
And so then right after I saw that post, you know, I said I needed a break. I needed a break from the desk. I got up. And normally before I go outside and, you know, play my, I think I play some sort of WordPress game or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
WordPress, it's a word game.
Yeah.
But before I go out there, I have a little quick sabbatical, you know. I don't want to be sitting outside and feel the urge to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom prior. So I went in the bathroom this time. And, this was the most amazing thing that I've ever witnessed. And it really fucked me up. This dude came in and, like, just nonchalantly to use the bin. You can always tell the guy who's going to the stall, who's coming, you know. You could tell he's not stopping at the urinals.
Do not pass go.
He's going to the stall. This dude went in the stall and with no effort whatsoever started shitting like a horse. Now, see, I say this because human beings, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, human beings shit in a specific pattern. It's a squeeze and then a plop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear the person.
Yeah, it's a break in between.
It's a break in between. But depending on, you know, the type of meal that was consumed, you can tell the difference
between
the
speed up or slow down. Speed up or slow down. But it's still going to be a basic cadence.
You might get a grunt to let you know that the squeeze or the contraction is happening, and then you hear the end result. Or you might hear breathing. Their breathing change to let you know that the contraction is happening. This dude was not doing any of that. He was not straining. There was no effort whatsoever, and it was just plop 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 plop. Like it was just falling out. Like it was literally just falling.
His entire cadence was off. Yeah, something wrong.
He was shitting like a horse. It was literally just falling out. All I could imagine was somebody just walking and like just shit just dropping without even, and they not even blinking. They not stopping conversation. Nothing. It's just falling out. And I'm saying, like, if you know, like, at this age, you know what foods do what to your body.
Yeah.
And if you at work, if you're in a place of business where other people that are there for business be in that bathroom.
Common courtesy.
You don't eat that shit. You don't eat that shit that I had you coming in there doing what that man was doing. You say that from when you get home.
All right, let me ask this. I feel like I know the answer. I'm going to say it anyway. Was there at least a courtesy flush between every like third or fourth or fifth plop? Because apparently he had no cadence to his shit.
No.
Pun intended.
Hell to the no. They didn't give a fuck. Just letting them go. I think he was completely oblivious to the fact that it was happening. I don't even know if he was aware that he was
at work though.
That's how effortless it sounded. Like he might not have been aware.
Pissing out his ass.
Yeah. It was gross, dog. And it fucked me up. Whoever you are, you know who you are. I know who you are, too. Because I keep a record of shoes.
I don't say no names, though.
I keep a record of shoes.
That happened to me. I was late. I was in high school. I was late one day for weight training class. And going to bed.
Wearing a medium?
I think I could fit a small back then. I was still a medium. Ran in. Had to pee real quick. It's like, let me pee because I'm about to go in here and lift these weights. I had to do my push-ups or whatever. So I'm in there, and it's a dude in a stall, and he's straining, plopping all over the place, and it's smelling like death. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And he grunting this shit, and I look down, and I seen his kicks. And everybody know, especially with dudes. Like, dude, you know, you get real close to people, like, you know people shit. Like, you can probably recognize a few sneakers that I got. I can recognize a few sneakers that you got. You didn't, whatever. You just know, like, you know your boys. Like, you know who's who. Yeah. So I look down, and I'm like, is that Steven? Steven, you in there taking a shit? Hey, Steven, that's you shit like that? This motherfucker gonna say, no, it's not me, Rich. What? What? You was better off being quiet, bro. Right. You gonna say, no, it's not me.
In his voice.
And then call my name because you knew it was me.
Right.
Because you recognize my shit. Like, come on. Really, bro?
Who is Steven, Rich?
I haven't spoken to Steven since high school. Bruh, he fucked up that bathroom.
I'm just saying, people, when you're in a public space, because this goes back to that post I put on the website about being publicly offensive. I'm against being publicly offensive, you know. I sit in the house all weekend and don't shower. If I got to go to the mailbox, yeah, I'm going to take a shower real quick. I'm not going to be out in public.
You got to protect the people.
Offensive like that. And I'm saying if you know what certain foods do to your body, we too old not to know. Don't eat that shit at work and then come in the bathroom and subject the rest of your coworkers to that type.
Especially at work.
And I know your shoes. I know it was you.
You know it was you.
I know it was your courtesy flush at least then. Or apologize. You could even scribble a note on some toilet paper and slide it through. Like, my bad, homie. Like, you ain't got to talk.
I hate when people don't courtesy flush, especially courtesy at work.
Courtesy flush. All right. So that was another thing. Then I got to... I had another thing that broke my heart that I got to address. I did my playlist for last week was the list. Hopefully people got a chance to check it out. I did a list of songs based on our episode about our five celebrity spouses. So it's some, you know, I represented both sides, you know. It's some Mose on there. It's Amari Hardwick makes a cameo on a song. We got some Pharrell on there, you know. I did a Babyface song from that Lance Gross movie. You know what I'm saying? I tried to cover all the bases. You know, of course, I didn't know Tessa Thompson actually had songs. She got songs on the Creed soundtrack. Oh, shit. So I had to drop a Tessa Thompson. I had to put TT on the list.
Tessa Thompson special release.
Yeah, TT. I did Andra Day, finished it off. She's the track 10. Mm-hmm. She brings it home for us. Some Jill on there, and then I dropped a Melanie Fiona track. Melanie Fiona was like one of my alternates. She wasn't quite in the top five, but she was like right there in the top five. And I love the song that I put on for Melanie Fiona, Stop My Heart. It's a beautiful song. I've been listening to it like all week. But in the process of like going through her music to find a song I wanted to put on there, I realized something that fucked with me, Rich.
Disappointment.
A disappointment. I did not know she made It Kills Me. And this hurts me, Rich, because It Kills Me. And have you come up with a better way for me saying it? Or do I just got to go with my phrase out?
You have to go with that. I might come up with something off the top pause, but man. I didn't realize it was her either. That,
and I'm hurt by it. It Kills Me is a dumb chick anthem. It's a dumb chick. If you listen to the lyrics of that song, this represents everything that's wrong with women in relationships, and it almost champions the stupidity because it's like at the end of the day, she loves him,
and she not that they're dumb.
Okay, help me out.
They're supremely blinded by love because they want to give their all.
It's poetic,
and you know, they want to have faith and belief in the person that they're with.
Okay, all right.
That's it.
And they want to be a lady and not curse the girl out on the phone or show up or whatever because she want to have his bed.
I got to be real. I don't know one woman who's not going to curse her the fuck out. I don't. Yeah. Especially black women. I don't.
Y'all got to do better, ladies. Y'all got to do better. It is never the girl. It's never the girl.
Is it that important to have some babies?
His baby. The one that's, you know, he cheating on you. And she said stuff like, because I don't want to be alone. You Melanie Fiona.
You just want to settle.
First of all, you Melanie Fiona. I have a difficult time dealing with the fact that you somehow have convinced yourself that without this dude, you just, that's it.
I think that it doesn't matter if she's Melanie Fiona or not. The bigger issue is.
Maybe it doesn't matter if she's Melanie, but she is Melanie Fiona. And she made my top five, which means there's at least one person that would take that spot if dude was, you know, if she was the, but I'm married, so, you know.
That's crazy. It's still crazy, though.
Still crazy. So I put her, so now, you know, she got to come off my five. And then I got to put her in the same category with another artist that disappointed me that I wanted to love. And then they just kept making dumb chick anthem after dumb chick anthem after dumb chick anthem. And that's Jasmine Sullivan.
Wait, hold on.
I loved Jasmine Sullivan. Lions and Tigers and Bears. That's my I feel like that Key
& Peele's skit. That's a good song.
I love that song. I even like I bust the windows out your car.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot. I bust the windows out your car. But songs like I'm in love with someone else and that round and round drink that she did.
I really don't know what you came here for. Yeah.
I forget that chick's name. She had her name was like, but that was on that Hot Tech album. Yeah, but I do remember her. But like another, you know, she's an attractive woman. She got, you know, her little thickness thing going on. Mm-hmm. Why she keep making these songs about dudes that's doing her wrong that she can't get away from? And I guarantee you, for Melanie Fiona, for Jasmine Sullivan, and for. And I'm gonna put other people on the list, even though I can't name a song that they did that was a dumb chick anthem. I just believe that they've made one. Keisha Cole.
Keisha Cole has had, like, nothing against Keisha Cole. I love Keisha Cole's music, but I'm drawing a blank right now. I feel like she's gotta
have
one. At least like three.
Right. What we got?
What was that one with Homeboy who was riding around in her car?
See, I don't even know her music that well.
It's gonna come to me in like 3 seconds.
Whoever knows, let us know.
Yeah, yeah. She was
going, but I gotta believe in each one of these situations, there was a dude that was just standing there, like, man, that's fucked up what you're going through. You know, I'm not gonna talk bad about your dude, but you know, you gotta do what's best for you. I gotta believe there's been a dude that's been standing right there representing. But even in some of Jasmine Sullivan's songs, she be with the right dude.
Mm-hmm.
And we be talking about, you treat me, you know, so well, he don't do nothing for me, but I'm in love with
that. Yeah. Because they always want the bad dude.
I don't know. That's a separate episode, but I needed to bring that up, that Melanie Fiona has been dropped from my top five spouses.
Speaking of, like, your whole baritone, hey, baby, baby, yeah, like, it made me think of the other conversation we had with the pickup lines.
Because these songs sound like women who fell for that damn line, that you got me, girl. Hold on. Let me set it up. I got to do it right. Girl. You got me waking up from a dream I just had about having a dream about you, having a dream about me.
who would fall for that, because evidently there's people who's going to fall
Fiona
for it.
Melanie Fiona and Jasmine Sullivan fell for it. My wife fell for it. You know, damn, Amari Hardwick. Hate. And I like Amari Hardwick. Like, I want to like that dude, but that got to be one of the... That's some pimp shit right there. Mm-hmm. That's some straight...
You know what it is? I'm a New Yorker. Renee, she's a Chicagoan, so Chicago wins. And it's one of those places where it's legit School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Like, you've legit, like, it's certain places, New York City, Chicago, L.A., like, Vegas. Like, you have no choice but to see some shit, and you grew up in some shit. And if you can make it out, like, you good. And I've seen it. Like, I've heard some of the worst lines. I've heard some of the best lines. I've seen, like, homeboys in the club walk up to people and say some shit, just like that stupid shit, that don't mean nothing.
Nothing.
But because of the delivery, It sounds like it's supposed to mean something. And the way you said it with your accent was cool. Yeah. So, okay, here's my number.
Right. It's the emperor. I call it the emperor's clothes syndrome. Mm-hmm. Where if you say something so confused, if you say something confusing enough, people will not want to admit that they don't understand it. So they be like, that shit was dope. That was smooth. Y'all like, yeah. But that's some Inception shit. That is some straight, like, is the top still spinning? Like, I'm waking up from a dream I had about me having a dream, about you having a dream.
About me.
The fuck out of here. Oh, man. Hate.
Yeah, that was...
Hate.
Listen, if you listen to this episode, drop us a line. Let us know. What do you feel about that line? Actually, do people still use pickup lines? Too early to say do people use pickup lines in 2017, I think. Right. But in general, do people still use pickup lines?
Here's the thing, Rich. Here's the thing. I think we have this in common. You and I have made a career out of not having pickup lines.
My best pickup line is, hello, right. My name is. Like, I ain't got it.
My game was that I didn't have no game.
Yeah.
And people used, and I think
I'm successful at that though.
Yeah, I was very successful. No, Tammy, I was moderately successful. It only worked on you. But yeah, I think even that might have been some emperor's clothes type shit. Like it was like he's so awkward that it's got to be a deeper meaning by like it's got to be something that I'm not catching. So I need to figure this out. Like I want to stick around long enough
exactly
to understand what game he trying to run on me. It wasn't no game.
And then when you get too far in, it's like
gotcha.
Because Renee has said several times like she was pleasantly surprised like when we were dating like oh you're like multifaceted like you just got so many of them. Thank you very much. And then it's I don't got no pickup lines. I don't got no game.
Nah, Tammy used to tell me I was smooth. Like, the fuck is you talking about?
How? Where? Okay, I'll take that.
Hey, what up? If you think so,
I'll accept it.
I'll take it. Hey,
I had no pickup lines.
If I had come across something like this, the dream line, I might have been using that. I might have just been, you know, a couple shots in. I could just walk up to somebody and be like, "Hey, girl, I just woke up."
I don't know if I could have pulled it off.
I don't know if you could pull it off. Oh, you know what I used to do though. You know what I used to really get. I'm getting myself in trouble, but I don't care. I do. I care, but I don't care. It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
Do it for the people. Do it for the love.
I used to do the, and I know you used to do this. I know you used to do it too, because I heard your mixtape. You do the for the ladies tracks, and then I would go like my Reg and I used to host the open mic, so I would go to the open mic and do my like. Verses from For the Ladies rap songs, but as poems. Every time.
No comment.
Every time.
Nah, I gotta.
Every time.
Poetry is good.
Yeah, you know. But it would strictly be a verse from a rap. Just slow it down, you know, give it a little special cadence, look someone directly in the eye at certain points.
And this for you.
I didn't write it for you. Right now, as I'm spitting it, I'm thinking of you.
You are my inspiration.
And you fit right into this verse I got right here. I didn't know what I was going to talk about when I got up here, but looking at you.
You're my muse.
Let me take a hit off the EC. Mm-hmm. But that was a long time ago, Tammy. She was there for a lot of them joints. I probably got her one of those.
I didn't use any game on you, babe.
She witnessed the evil.
It was love.
She's saying it. You know, that's about when I used to put the glasses on for special occasions. I hated wearing glasses, but there were certain environments I knew I was going to be in where the glasses were going to play to my advantage. So I went and threw the glasses on.
I think for me and Renee, like, I don't know. Like, so when we went on our first date, I hadn't been on a date in so long that I wasn't even sure how to date. Like, legit, like, our first date, I thought it looked okay. But I guess I dressed it a little differently than what a person should have worn on a date.
Yeah.
I wore a t-shirt. But it was a nice t-shirt. I paid $135 for that t-shirt.
We're going to talk about that later.
Right? I mean, $135 is a lot for a t-shirt. Well, a nice pair of selvedge denim jeans. Jeans was expensive too. It's like, damn. I used to waste money when I was younger.
You had that luxury. And I miss those days.
And I had a nice pair of sneakers. I had just got those sneakers. Some Nike Flyknit Racers. The limited edition pack. I think I paid like... actually, that's when I had the Nike discount when I bought them. I don't know what the regular price was. I don't know what I paid for them. It was 50 off because I had the discount. Shout out to Nike. But so, I thought it looked good. I thought we was going to hang out. We was going to be cool. We going to chill, whatever. Was not in date attire. Showed up. What she had on was much nicer. She had on, and I always remember those white jeans. The chambray halter top with the spaghetti straps.
Why you always fucking her sandals the game and the tops. Up. Why you always fucking the game up for everybody?
I'm just saying. I remember.
I'm trying right now. Like, what the fuck did Tammy wear?
So, I'm just one of those people. So, I remember what she had on, and it looked very nice. And I remember where we went for our first date, which was actually pretty nice. It was a nice restaurant. It was a Mexican restaurant, because I remember we were talking a few times. And she mentioned several times that she liked Mexican food. It's always been her favorite. So anyway, we went to this dope Mexican. You gotta listen sometime. I'm a paying attention ass nigga. Damn.
Sucker for love ass nigga.
Anyway. And the whole time, like, they had mad specials. And they had a, basically, the way the pricing was set up, like, I was getting margaritas or whatever. So the price for a margarita, I think it was like $10 for a margarita or whatever. But you can get a pitcher of margaritas for $22. So it's like, do I buy myself two drinks? Or do I buy myself a pitcher of drinks for the same price? I got the pitcher.
Got the pitcher.
Probably shouldn't have got the pitcher. Probably, I think I drank too much that night.
Oh, man.
But I wasn't fucked up. But because it was early in like the relationship or whatever, or it wasn't even a relationship. Long story short, I'm gonna speed this up. I never even ended up taking her home because it was early on. It was like, I don't want this crazy motherfucker to know where I live in the first place. So we parted ways. She went her way. I went my way or whatever. But I thought it was a good date. Fast forward 3 years later, looking at us as more than 3 years. I've known her for a while, but we've officially been dating for 3 years. And I look back on it and it's like, damn, I showed up on a motherfucking date with some jeans,
a t-shirt,
and some sneakers. It don't matter how nice that t-shirt and jeans and sneakers was. I showed up on a date with some jeans, and a t-shirt.
That's you. I mean, yeah. Back then, I was, when Tammy and I first started dating, I was, like, that was my, my whole MO was, I was the button-up king.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Like, all I did was, I worked at the Pentagon, so I could go across the street to Pentagon City, which is, so this is a big Pentagon City is a big mall,
mm-hmm.
right across the street from the it's a Simon Mall, just like the Domain. And so that's back when there was not Express from it was Structure.
Yeah.
You could
and I
you
miss
could,
Structure.
I think
Structure,
you could go into
Structure was way different than Express.
It'd be like right next to the Express, you mm-hmm. know. It was I would go into Structure like, you know, once or twice a week and just I was just buying button ups.
Just for the love.
So I was, it'd be the middle of the fucking summer and I had on like a button up.
Me too.
With the sleeves all the way down. It didn't matter.
Me too.
Renee but our first date, I didn't even know it was a date. Like, I just went to get my hair cut and Reg called me and he was like, hey,
ain't nothing like a fresh haircut, by the way. Make you feel like $1 million.
$1 million. Reg called me and he was like, hey, man, you trying to hit up California Pizza Kitchen. So it wasn't even like we didn't have the whole.
Sorry about. Nice. So you know about CBK. See, I never knew about CBK.
Okay.
And Renee knows about CBK, and that's one of her favorite restaurants.
Oh, okay.
That was a sidebar.
It's apparently, right there in the Domain. Y'all.
So apparently, I'm the only one. Now I know about it because it's in the Domain, but apparently, I'm the only one. But go ahead.
It seems like you're trying to hit up CBK. And he told me and Tammy was going to be there. So he was trying to set up like a double date situation, but this is how much game I didn't have. I was completely oblivious. I'm trying to invite my ex-girlfriend at the time. So I'm trying to see if I could work out a quick, you know, reminisce mm-hmm. session. So I'm like, yo, can I bring whoever? And he's like, I don't know if that'll be a good idea. I'm like, all right, whatever. I guess I'll come hang out with y'all. No idea it was a date. I sat down and they kept asking me what I did for a living. And, you know, they was trying to get the first date questions out the way. I think she had to teach me how to eat spaghetti. It was real, like, Lady and the Tramp type. But, yeah, I mean, it was what that's. Yeah, and she'll tell the story that, like, I didn't call her for a certain amount of days. And it was what it was just because and it wasn't like a, that wasn't like no game or no, you know, pimpish kind of thing. It was that, you know, I was just a real shy, nervous dude. And the idea of, you know, calling a girl for the first time was still like, you know,
still new.
So I was, yeah, I guess I was avoiding the situation. I avoided it so long that it became an issue. But I did eventually call, and now we're married with a child. So, you know,
it worked out.
But yeah, I was a little bit of a, and that takes me to my last get the evil out. And then we could get into some actual, like, relevant news and positivity. But I was a dick when I was that age and younger. And I got called out on it earlier this week. Shout out to Melvin. I won't put his last name on the podcast. We used to call him, was it Foots or Feets? I want to say Foots in high school. He's one of my high school friends. Well, I graduated from a high school. My graduating class had 15 people in it. So, it's, you know, you could say it's like one of my high school friends, but when your graduating class has 15 people in it, y'all all friends. Like, everybody, you know, it's not like you don't know nobody in your graduating class. But he reminded me of this on inauguration day, that back then at like 17, and y'all gotta forgive me for this, family. I claimed to be a Republican. I did. And I talked about it often. I think at one point I even said that Reagan was the greatest president of all time. I think I remember saying, like, I'm remembering the stuff I said as a kid, and I was just a pretentious, you know, overly confident, maybe had a little God complex, Napoleonic
thing. Acceptance is the first step to forgiveness.
Man, I tried to be different, just to be different, just to be like, you know, just to make myself feel, I guess, superior to others. My mother used to tell me that, because I got picked on a lot, you know, earlier as a kid. Mm-hmm. And she used to always tell me, to make me feel better, that you could be them whenever you chose. Like, you could wake up tomorrow and decide you want to be like them, and you could be them. They could never be you. And so I think at one point I, like, really took that to heart. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm just going to go left on every, you know, every chance I get. If everybody's going this way, I'm going to go this way. Yeah, I could be you if I wanted to, but you can't come over here and be me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I was a Republican. I was, I think I did a article for a newspaper once, and I was just shitting on my school. And I think I told a lady that I felt like a rock star. I'm trying to tell you, I'm revisiting this period in my life. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, like, you was just, oh man, I've grown up. I swear to God, I've grown up, people. I'm not a Republican. I hope I'm I do kind of carry myself on this podcast with a certain air, just because I think it's important for the podcast.
I don't think there's necessarily wrong with being a Republican. It's just
there's a lot wrong.
Certain views. It's certain views.
Yeah, but yeah, no.
It's certain conservative views that we may not ascribe to, but. You know, your party, your beliefs is your party, your beliefs.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think I was doing what I see people doing now, where they, you know, they were associating with a certain belief or a certain system because it seemed like the intellectual thing to do, or it seemed like, you know, for the look of being a part of that group. Not because I even understood what they stood for or believe what they stood. I probably didn't understand what they stood. I did not understand what Reagan had done to black people when I made that statement. I did not understand trickle down economics and Reaganomics you know, the war on drugs and all the, you know, all the horrible things that.
So you just had people hating you off GP.
I can only imagine what people thought. I mean, I didn't know what I was saying. I was just saying some crazy shit just to say some crazy shit, and I. I got called out on it. I mean, that wasn't his point. I think it was just like reminiscing. Let's laugh about something that was it was funny back in the day. But when I think about it, like, you know, I really was a little asshole. Like, I hope to God my daughter does not, you know, I can find that fine line between teaching them to be confident and sure of themselves and not being a dick. I gotta learn that line. But I needed to confess that, get that off my chest. That for everything I say now, 17-year-old Flan was he wasn't a card carrying Republican because he didn't know how to be a card carrying Republican. But he told the line. He repped hard, like everywhere. Just I think I was trying to like impress white people. I think I'd be you know, we had some white teachers and I'd be telling them I was a Republican, like I was gonna earn me some points. Jesus Christ, I don't even want to talk about it no more. Let's get on to something else.
All right, well, for the sake of time, I'm going to forego my rant right now because we got a lot that we want to go through.
We can make this, I know you got places to be, but I have talked a lot. All right, did you want to go next, man? Where did you want to go?
I don't know. I think this one was pretty interesting because we talked about it. And as we were speaking about this, it came back to me a little bit. Should women who falsely accuse men of rape go to jail?
Let's get it.
What do you think?
No. I've held the floor way too long, Rich.
All right. So I'm trying to recall this case, but I think I remember this case. So this is the one where the woman accused the man of rape. I believe he was like a prominent football star. You know, he had scholarships lined up. He's doing what he had to do. She said that he raped her. Turns out he actually didn't rape her. He was in jail. Same woman is writing him letters in jail. Turns out in one of the letters, she finally admits that she lied and had him falsely imprisoned. And that's what the catalyst was that actually finally got him released. So now everybody's trying to scramble and see what they're going to do, because basically a lot of colleges have this thing in place where if you get attacked on their campus and they should have protected you, blah, 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 you get a lawsuit, you get this money. Yeah. They gave her a lump sum, like, what was it? Like,
yeah, this is saying $750,000.
Yeah, so $750,000 college paid her for to deal with her shit because, you know, she was attacked. And this man lost years off his life. All right. So
any chance he had of, you know, pursuing football or anything else?
Everything is he was jailed as a kid. So basically he has no life skills, no higher education, like no nothing. Yeah. And he has to now re-enter the workforce, re-enter the world. Regular, whether he was falsely accused or not, no one cares. Let's be real. No one cares if he was falsely accused. We only care what happened to this amount of time. If you have no good explanation, it is what it is. His life will not be repaired. So should she go to jail? Hell yes. If you call the motherfucking police and report a false crime, that's a crime.
Right.
So she reported a false crime and she evaded. Is there a statute of limitations on lying? No. She did it. And she took the motherfucking money.
Took the money.
And he brought it away.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Throw her under the bus.
And then the other sad thing about it, like you were saying, like nobody cares about, you know, why you lost this period of your life. But then I think even with this, even with the fact that she wrote a letter to him in prison saying that he didn't do it and that he's, you know, been exonerated in the courts, I guarantee you there are still people that believe he did it. Like once you're accused. You're guilty. You're going to be guilty in somebody's eyes, no matter what happens. And I think, you know, and I wanted to talk about this when we did a previous episode or had time before, but like I guess, you know, we overcorrected at one point. Mm-hmm. I think at one point it was too difficult for women to make a case that, you know, something wasn't consensual. It was too difficult for a woman to prove rape. Like she could accuse someone of rape, but then, you know, to get the person convicted, her character was going to come, you know,
they were end the question.
They were going to put her on trial to prove, you know, that she was trustworthy or credible enough
without a shadow of a doubt
to say that somebody raped her. And then I think we overcorrected, and now it's, you know, all you really got to do is accuse. And now this person, now that, you know, it's all on the male side to prove mm-hmm. that the sex was consensual or whatever happened, and is, and we got to find some sort of middle ground.
It's crazy.
And I think something like, you know, something like there being a penalty for the false accusation at least mm-hmm. might slow it down. In this case, I do wonder if there had been a penalty, if there had been something, like if she had known that if she comes out and says he didn't do it later on, that she would go to jail, would that have prevented her from ever coming out and saying he didn't do it? Would he still be in prison if there was a penalty? Like, would the penalty mm-hmm. backfire even further? Like,
and what I want to know also, like, are these colleges making it known? Well, if you're attacked on our campus, you know, we'll just pay you this money. Like, is that something that's known? Like, is it a settlement amount that's just being preached at the campus rallies, or is this something that's after the fact?
But I mean, I think violence against women is a very real,
it's wrong,
very real issue, yeah. and it's wrong. But we've got to find some sort of middle ground. Like I said, I feel like we overcorrected. We went too far in one direction, mm-hmm. and now it's way too easy to make these accusations. And then, I mean, we've seen it, like in the Nate Parker case, and the Derrick Rose mm-hmm. situation. It's, even though these guys both, you know, were exonerated legally, their name is not in public eye, their name is gone.
It's
There's always going to be some people. I mean, that film that Nate Parker put out probably did not do what it should have done,
and we all know why.
You know, it got to a point where you couldn't, if you said something positive about Nate Parker, you were a Nate Parker apologist, you agreed with violence against women, and you were pretty much a rapist exactly. yourself just for siding with him, just for saying he was doing something positive. So, like, I mean, that's the thing. It's gotten to the point now that it's too easy to accuse, and even if you do accuse and a person, is found not guilty of it, the damage is already done. Yeah. A lot of the damage is already done.
Exactly.
You know.
Nobody cares.
So there's, I don't know the answer though. I don't know how you even this thing out again. But it's crazy. And I wonder if there was a penalty, like going to jail for making these making false accusations, if this kid would still be in prison, because there would have been, you know, she would not have come forward because she would have risked going to jail herself. So would putting a rule like that in place make the situation even worse?
I don't know if it made it even. Actually, you know what? If she would have known that there could have been a penalty, probably. But at the same time, if she also would have known that it would have been a penalty from the beginning for lying, maybe it could have been avoided.
Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those things where it's almost impossible to prove somebody's lying. Like, how do you prove that sex was consensual or not? How is that, you know? Is there a way to prove it besides one, you know, somebody's word? How you prove it?
It's tough.
So I don't know, but yeah, I feel like there should be a penalty, because this kid's life, like you said, is trashed. Like, for him to pick up the pieces right now is going to take a miracle. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's an uphill battle. It's a huge uphill battle. And it looked like he had everything going for him at the time that these accusations were made.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so,
yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Somebody shouldn't be allowed to do that to another person. But somebody also shouldn't be allowed to
make false accusations.
Or rape another person. Now, how do we get justice for both? How do we get justice for women who are raped? Mm-hmm. And how do we get justice for men who are falsely accused of rape?
Yeah.
How do we toe the line? It's got to be a balance. But I think it's something we got to start talking about and discussing so we can create a solution.
That's the first step. It's always going to be the conversation is the first step.
Yeah. All right. So that was, you know, that was more on the actual social issue. Wasn't just me talking about bullshit. What else we got?
I wanted to talk about Betsy DeVos, but that's one of the things. Like, she needs... Excuse me, her incompetence needs its own episode to be heard. I'm going to touch on it for a split second, and we're going to go on. Because like I said, she needs to have her own motherfucking episode. This woman who was up for Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what's worse, the fact that she didn't know what the difference between progressive and growth was. I don't know if it was the fact that she advocated for guns in school because, you know, there might be a grizzly bear outbreak. I don't know if it's the fact that she just avoided the shit out of questions and played it to the left, or the fact that this woman who's supposed to be in charge of higher education and balancing a multi-trillion dollar budget for the nation doesn't even have a degree of a higher education herself. Like, she doesn't have a graduate degree. What the fuck? But she's supposed to manage it. She never went through the financial aid system, knows nothing about it, never touched it, because she's been fortunate enough not to. So how can you dictate towards the people who do have to go through it? Like I said, it's one of those things we can go on forever about that, but what in the entire fuck?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just again, it's a pattern of the decision making by this administration. And like I said, I'm trying not to do the look at the darkness thing. But it's hard with stuff like this.
The amount of shit like Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, gone. Day one, gone.
I mean, they're going to be people that, and it's not going to be just the people who we are expecting to be hurt. Mm-hmm. There are going to be a lot of people who weren't expecting to be hurt by this.
Like all of the idiots who did not realize that Obamacare was the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Or the other one we were talking about earlier, the FEMA housing credit.
Yeah.
That extra 0.25% that they were giving as a kickback for first-time homeowners, gone. Written off, gone. It's like people can barely afford to buy homes as it is. And with the levels that, the nature of banking and stuff like that, like, banks were still not out of the holes. So, you know, this, all of these extra percentages here and there and kickbacks and promotions and programs sort of serves as a catalyst and, like, you know, a push for people to be able to buy a home. And, they're just taking that back.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, and this is again why, you know, some of the stuff that we've talked about, like becoming system proof, like, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, let's build these businesses and then, you know, support one another. Let's pool our money. Let's buy property. Let's get to a situation or a point where these laws and these changes, these regimes can't come in and affect us the same way they do now. Like right now, since, you know, we don't have we don't have this infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. It's easy for us to, you know, to fall victim to these changes because we're kind of at their whim. They make a change, then it affects us, you know, immediately. And if we can just start, you know, becoming more self-sustainable, if we can start, you know,
true,
like being more unified and have more of a community that we can mm-hmm. pick up and take care of each other, that, you know, they can change whatever they want to change, you know, we'll be good. We'll be good. You know,
exactly.
If you believe the system isn't built for you, then we got to build
a system for ourselves.
We got to build something for ourselves. So, you know, that touches on the whole, you know, Dreamers program, that touches on the whole connecting with businesses and like I said, supporting each other and taking care of each other. Speaking of that, I had a card for someone that I wanted to big up on the show. Man, I think let me look up her website. What you got to talk about? I'm going to look up this website. Stall for me, Rich.
Speaking of which, I did have a thought, actually, that I wanted to talk about. Wanted to see what you thought about the Women's March. So I saw a lot. Like, I saw a lot of commentary on this Women's March online. I saw one person say, oh, so you want equal rights? Next time we go out on a date, you're going to have to pay it for yourself. Like, I don't get it in the least. And like, every time I hear it, it makes me think about that Michael Che stand-up. You know, we're fighting for rights, and the rights that we're fighting for do not make any sense. Hmm. We're fighting for equal rights. Equal rights. I don't want to be treated any better than you, but I don't want to be treated any worse.
Yeah.
I want to be able to get a job and get paid the same, looked at the same, treated the same. And people act like that's a crime. You know, fighting for civil rights and civil liberties, like civil rights. Right. And if you can't give me equal rights, I'm fighting for civil rights. The fact that I have to ask you to be civil is the most asinine shit. Like, it's the most what the fuck shit in the world. I don't get it. Right. And so that's what I'm seeing, like, online with everyone's comments about the Women's March. And I feel I've been reading a lot, and some people are taking it wrong. Some people are calling it extreme feminism. Some of the participants maybe feel the way about it. I'm looking at it as women, as always, deserve and want to be treated fairly. They want to be treated equally. African Americans, they want to be treated fairly. They want to be treated equally. Every other minority wants to be treated fairly, wants to be treated equally. What's the issue? White America, what is... I can't explain, because I can't see it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. Like, I don't see what the issue is. Why is it so bad to be treated fairly? Why is it so wrong for me to want to be treated fairly?
And this, you know, this comes back to what I think the overarching issue is. And like I said, when I was listening to the Trevor Noah interview on The Breakfast Club, and he was talking about the, you know, apartheid and how apartheid ended in South Africa. He said one of the first things was that the government came out and acknowledged apartheid. They came out and said, yes, there was a system of laws in place designed to oppress and discriminate against you. Like, yes, this did happen. And so now we have to correct it. The problem in America, for me, is that when you talk to a lot of these people, when you're saying we're asking for equal rights, in their mind, we already have them. They don't understand that something, that we're not on equal footing. They don't understand that there is a system in place purposefully designed to oppress and discriminate against us, whether we're talking about black, whether we're talking about the LGBTQ, whether we're talking about just women, whether we're talking about Muslims, you know, like all these different groups. It is extremely difficult to get people in power, or certain people in power, to acknowledge the fact that it isn't equal, that we are still fighting just to get to equal. It sounds to them like we already did that, didn't we? Didn't we? We already passed the Civil Rights Act. We already gave you equal rights. You want to be better. You know that Black Lives Matter is not saying Black Lives Matter as well as white lives. You know that Black Lives Matter is trying to get you somehow above us. What we're saying right now, in terms of, you know, how you value life, we look below. We look like you value us less. When you say Black Lives Matter, we're just trying to say Black Lives Matter just as much. Like, we're just trying to get up to your level. But until we can frame the argument in a way that gets people to see that it's not, we're looking for above and beyond. Until we can frame the argument in a way that gets them to admit that we're below, that we're second class, that we don't that we aren't equal right now. Then we're going to continue to butt up against this same argument that you want more, you want to be treated better, you want to be, you know, you want something above and beyond equality, because they have yet to acknowledge that we aren't treated equally yet. And I don't know, and that's what I'm saying with, like, with some of the Be the Light stuff, is that when you have a difference of opinion like that, when you're asking for equal rights and somebody's saying you already are equal, like, then the discussion stops. Like, it's, you can't convince them, you know, of certain things, because they, here they are. Like, you know, we're not starting on this. We don't have the same frame of reference. We're not starting from the same point. I'm saying I want to be equal. You're saying you already are. You know, when I want to be, but you already are. But I want to be, you know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you I'm not.
I'm telling you that I'm not. Like, and so we have to shift from, I want to say we have to. This is my personal opinion. This is how I'm going to approach it from now on, is that my goal is to find ways to make it apparent, like to pull the veil back so that it's clear you know, that we're not equal. Like if we can just get to that point where we can get an admission, if we can just get to the point where we can get people to admit that something's wrong,
where do we go
then we can fix it.
Yeah.
But you can't fix it if you don't know that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so we're fighting to say, let's fix it, let's fix it, let's fix it, when really we need to be fighting to say, can you admit there's a problem?
Yeah, that's the first step.
First step.
Even alcoholics know that.
And we're not there. We're not there. When that police officer came out and said, we apologize for our role in oppressing people of color, you had other police chiefs come back and say, there's nothing to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had someone try to make sort of an admission that things, and my problem with his was that he kept saying, we participated when
not facilitated.
You're still participating, you know. Don't, you know, it's not over.
Past tense.
It's not past tense. It's still happening. But then you had people that wouldn't even acknowledge that it happened in the past tense. More or less, it's continuing to happen. So, I don't know. When I look back on, like, all of the movements, and here I am taking up all the time again, Rich, but I'm going to try to make this quick. When I look back on all the movements that, to me, have made a change, you know, it's been because we were able to find a way to make our problem their problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, we live in a world where telling people that you should care about your fellow man doesn't, you know,
no,
you can't convince people of that. So you got to give them another. What's the other incentive for me to do something for you? I'm not going to do it just because I care, because I don't. So how can you make this something important to me? You know, that's what the bus boycotts did. The bus boycotts hit them in the pocket and they fixed it because it became their problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not their problem, they're not going to fix
doesn't
it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. There, all right. I'm going to stop
you. I mean, I agree. We need that Black Wall Street. That's what we need.
You know what I'm saying? We got to, if we can start building for ourselves. Now, the scary part about Black Wall Street is every time you try to do it, they burnt the motherfucker down.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's a scary proposition. You're putting yourself in the crosshairs. If you try to build yourself up. But I don't know. Never tire of doing that, which is right. God did not give me a spirit. What is it? The Lord did not give me a spirit of fear, but of faith, love, and a sound mind. I be quoting scriptures, but I don't go to church. Man.
Preach.
This all comes from my mother. I was telling her today, like, if somebody comes to me with a problem, and I'll be like, yo, my thoughts and prayers are with you. That means I like you enough not to hurt your feelings. Because my thoughts and prayers don't really mean, I don't pray a whole lot. But if you tell me something's wrong, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to call my mom, put you on the prayer list. That means I fuck with you. Because I know moms is going to God several times a day and she might get hurt. So.
Well, thank you, Mama Flanagan.
So just know, if you hit me with something and I ain't tell you I was putting you on mom's prayer list.
Sorry.
Sorry. Everybody going on mom's prayer list right now. The country's on mom's prayer list.
They need it.
We need healing. Be the light.
This is random. This is my last thing and then we got to go. Did you see the random BS online? So they were marching at the inauguration. They took a picture of Melania the second where everyone was saluting the soldiers.
Yeah, but her. Yeah.
And try to turn it into a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big thing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because now in her position,
there should be no hesitation.
She should know. She should know about it. Yeah. I'm gonna take this.
Is she legal? Like, is she naturalized? Or is she legal? Is she got a visa? Like, what's going on?
Once you marry an American though, right? You're good, right?
I don't know.
You marry an American, you American, right? You good. I don't know. But yeah, in her position, she should know. I'm gonna take it as ignorance. She didn't know what she was supposed to do. Now, that's not excusable because as First Lady, somebody should have told you what you're supposed to do. But I'm going to say it wasn't malicious, that it was ignorant. And that falls right in line with, come on, Wusa, Flan, be the light, be the light. Don't call people ignorant. I'm trying, Jesus. I'm trying. Be the light, be the light, be the light. And I used to do color guard. I said that personally offends me when people don't respect the colors. Yeah.
I mean, I used to do color guard. God damn it, too much in common. Yeah, so I thought that was weird. I thought that was just people reaching, because later on it shows her, she is saluting, but they just caught her before. Yeah, so
she didn't get it up there in time. Maybe she realized everybody else was saluting and she,
so my bad,
she put the hand up there. But yeah, I mean, I think we are reaching, and that's the problem. Yeah. You know, like, how you can't keep, like, just stop.
That Pence, though, he did throw shade. He avoided that handshake.
Because he went deep into that crowd.
Deep
into that crowd. I didn't watch any of it. I know Tammy was hitting me throughout the day, talking to me about it. I had my headphones on at work the whole day because I didn't want to hear conversations behind me. I didn't go on CNN. I didn't do any. I didn't want to know anything about the situation. I was really boycotting that whole thing. And I mean, this is my last thing, and then I'm done. This is what bothers me. This is what grinds my gears right now about the whole situation. Is that if you talk to people in this regime, his supporters, the administration, they always paint Obama as the worst president in the history of the United States. But every time they want to measure their success, they tend to measure it against Obama's accomplishment.
Yep.
As if, like, we're doing better than they were doing. Well, if you're the best and they're the worst, then that's...
doesn't count.
That should be an easy win. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point of bringing that up? Show me who your best president of all time was,
and how with his numbers, them.
And how you outpacing them. Like, your arguments don't match up. If Obama was the worst, then why we keep talking about it? Why you want crowds bigger than his crowds? Why you want employment better than his employment? He was the worst. You should easily be able to do that.
Exactly.
But whatever. That's my final thought. Be the light.
All right, one more.
Okay. We keep going.
And this don't got nothing to do with it. Actually, got a little bit to do a little bit. I just popped in my head, and it goes back to first dates. When I was out today, I saw a couple. They were on their first date. I was eavesdropping a little bit. You got eavesdropping on people sometimes. Right. Eavesdropping on them. And I hear her say, she just bought a brand new 9mm. And then he says, wow, you got a 9mm? What kind? And then he proceeds to say what kind he had. And she talks about what kind he had. And then she's like, so he's like, have you taken it out shooting yet? And then now they're sitting here talking about shooting on a first date.
Hey, right? I mean, that's what they got in common. They love it. It's Texas, though.
Man, that's Texas. What I said. Yeah, and so I'm looking at her.
That's a first date. I'm looking at him. Go to the range for the first date.
Yeah, so I'm looking at her and I'm looking at him. You look at both of them. There was only, you can't tell that either of them is packing at this point.
Right.
Except for one thing. They're in Texas.
They're in Texas.
They weren't in Texas, you'd have thought they were just an average couple. But being in Texas, I feel like 99.9% of people I pass every day has a gun.
Probably pull up if you want to.
Yeah. So I'm looking at them, and I'm like, she got the gun somewhere. Obviously, she got the. She's looking. She had on fitted clothes and fitted jeans and a tank top. So she's looking like she don't got nowhere to have a gun. She's talking to this man about the fact that she has with her 9mm that she just bought. She got a gun somewhere.
Have you seen that YouTube clip where it's like
with the lady with the Spanx and the
she pulled out like 17
guns? Yeah, I seen it. I ain't with it.
That is crazy. But yeah, on that note, I think I'm gonna give me a Draco.
Man, listen, little Draco.
I wanted to give me a Draco. Them joints is not that pricey. I would go cop me a Draco.
Man, listen, they sell guns. So we in Texas. They sell guns at Walmart.
Hey.
Sell guns at Bass Fishermen. Like,
they sell guns at
sale.
The...
I ain't gonna tell y'all what the sale prices is, but you can get a gun for Jordan money. That's right. Listen, you should not be able to get a gun for sneaker money.
Hey, they sell guns at the farmer's market.
Yeah, yeah. Shit reckless.
You can go get yourself some asparagus and a Draco.
In and out the same day.
Yeah. Fresh peaches, all that. Get some watermelons, line them up.
The paperwork ain't even the same in Texas. That's crazy.
But I love Tech. I love Austin.
I love Austin. Yeah, Austin is the shit.
I love Austin. All right, one last thing. I swear to God, this is it. Is this driving anybody else crazy, right? Trump won the election. But you see the numbers of people protesting all over the country.
If he won by such a landslide, and apparently they say he was supposed to win the popular vote, no, the fuck he didn't.
Right.
If It's hard to articulate, because if he won by such a landslide, if he won and he was supposed to be the president, if so many people wanted him to win, how are so many people against him?
Oh, so many people. I've never seen anything
like they're like coming this. Out and like they're coming out in droves, like in fucking droves. The amount of people day one, like people were against Obama day one, and like they were like speaking out. The amount of people taking off of work, school, etc., trying flying to have their places. Voices don't heard. Know. And day one, and come on, something's up.
So, I mean, I don't like being that conspiracy theory dude. I hate conspiracy theories, but we already talking about, you know, the election being tampered with from our foreign, you know, foreign governments. And I'm just looking at how many people don't want this. And I'm like, how was it possible? Either he did, like I said, and I've said this in other episodes, like he looked at the numbers and figured, I don't need these people. If I speak to this one specific group, this one specific group will come out and support me. And they did. And maybe that's how it happened. But it just seems like there's a overwhelming amount of people who are not just, because you got to think, for each one of the people like that like you said, that are taking off work and are protesting, there's got to be like five people who mad but didn't take off work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who's still at home, who wasn't going to go walk the streets and parade. So if you multiply the people you see versus all the people that have to, that probably exist, because for every one you see, there probably five you don't. The numbers just,
that's too much. Just it's don't too much. Like me and you, I had to go to work. My position, your position, we have those type of jobs where you just have to be there. I'm not trying to make excuses, but we do have those type of jobs that you have to be there, because shit will go the fuck down. Right.
And TWS is not paying the bill.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, so you know what I'm saying? So it's like me, you, Tammy, Renee, my coworker, Boone. That's five people for that one person I saw marching. You know what I'm saying? So the numbers add up. So I just don't get it.
That's driving me crazy right now. It's just the numbers game. When I try to look at the numbers, it's not making sense to me. But here we are, people. We're here. You know, he said to go. And we, you know, and the electricity didn't go out. Our job was at work. Like, I wonder if the lights going to go out. Like, at some point today is the whole power grid crash.
I was waiting for that day to be over.
But it happened. It's, you know, we'll be day two, day three already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we gotta figure out life.
I'm gonna try to sleep peacefully tonight. Hopefully.
We gotta figure out life now. Like, life is still going. The world didn't end. The apocalypse didn't happen. There will be a tomorrow. So, you know, what can we do today? Be the light. That's what we can do. Be the light.
All right, one last thing. This is not really a topic. I just got to point this out since you wanted to bring up the medium thing. Jared got a Texas Longhorn orange pillow in his house. He has been converted.
Look, man. I
just had to say that.
I had a pregnant wife.
Uh-huh. Texas. Know. It's Texas Longhorn orange. Pillow, too.
That's what they had in Target, man.
It was like 3 feet long.
That's what they had in Target. They had
burnt orange. He got it.
They had the Texas Longhorn colors in Target. Mm-hmm. You know, Target is, shout out to Target. But that's all the fuck they had. And the wife had to have something. So that's what I got. I'm going to go to a Longhorn game one day just to go.
I'm scared that if I admit that I haven't been, we might lose listeners. So, go Longhorns.
Go Longhorns.
We know it's religion out here. So,
is it these things? Like, what is the Longhorn thing? Do you got to put you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing, or it's just where you go inside with it?
I don't.
Does the thumb go out?
It's that one. The bull horn. Yeah.
Hook 'em horns. All right, but yeah. As usual, ttcharities.org. My man Tavares Taylor's charity organization. Please go check out the website. Donate if you can. It doesn't have to be money. It could be time, clothes, toys, whatever, books, whatever they need. You know, see if there's some way that you can contribute. If you can't, you know, pass the information on to someone else. And let's try to take care of each other. Let's try to build that community that I'm talking about, so that we can be somewhat safe from some of the changes that are going to come with this new regime. The Flint, Michigan situation is still real. We're talking about several years now without clean water. And I know TT Charities has programs going on right now to try to support the people there. So please, ttcharities.org. Check them out and do what you can.
And also, check out the website. Listen, check out the blog. Listen to the podcast. whatistws.com/good. You can get some official TWS, the White Pants Society gear. It's all up there. Shirts, mugs, shirts, hats, pillows, hats, everything. Phone cases. Yeah. We got it. You want it. We got it. We ain't got it. Let us know. We'll get it.
That's right. I just woke up from a dream I had about.
I woke up from a dream I had about a dream I had about you buying our gift.
But yeah, that's it for this episode. Be the light. Peace.
Peace.